Open your Bibles this morning to Luke chapter 9, and we'll be looking at a couple verses, familiar verses in verses 23 and 24 in a minute. Last week, Leo talked to us about God speaking and how that happens and how He does that. And God does still speak to His people. He speaks primarily through His Word, and then He speaks through prayer, circumstance, His people, the church. And we measure, of course, everything that He says to us, we always make sure it lines up with His Word. But He still speaks. He speaks and He leads and guides His people. He speaks to us so that we can know His will and do what He would have us do. He speaks so that we can walk in the Spirit and so we won't carry out the desires of our sinful, selfish nature. But we also need to ask ourselves, why? Why does He speak to us? Why does God speak to us? Today, air traffic controllers at the Rochester International Airport. You ever thought how funny that was, Rochester International Airport? But anyway, they're speaking to pilots, and as they land, they're guiding them to a safe landing. And probably those radio waves are going even right through this building at this time, but we can't hear them. Why can't we hear them? Well, first of all, we don't have the device to hear them. But secondly, it's not our mission to help planes land safely at the Rochester International Airport. I grew up in Lawton, Oklahoma, about a mile from Fort Sill. And Fort Sill is the home of the United States Field Artillery School, as well as the Marine Corps site for Field Artillery School. It's the home of the United States Army Air Defense Artillery School, the 31st Air Defense Artillery Brigade, the 75th Fire Brigade, and the 214th Fire Brigade. Fort Sill also is a location for one of the five locations for Army Basic Combat Training. I lived a mile from Fort Sill, and there was all kinds of communication happening at Fort Sill, but I didn't hear any of it. Why? I didn't hear those communications because I was not in any way involved in defending our country and the mission of defending our country. I was just riding my bicycles in those days. You know, that's what I was doing. I still do that, but anyway. You see, God speaks to us. It is true. But He doesn't just speak so that we could somehow hear God and we could say, I heard God and maybe you didn't hear God and brag about it. No, God speaks to us so that we will be on mission with Him. So that we will be a part of His extending His kingdom to the ends of the earth. You see, God is concerned with reconciling the world to Himself. The Scripture teaches us. We are ambassadors for Christ as though God did beseech you through us. Be reconciled to God. You see, we are ambassadors and we need to be on mission with God in bringing His message of reconciliation to this world. You see, God's not primarily concerned with making me happy or you happy. Although I know, and you should know, that following Jesus, living for Him is truly the way to find experience, happiness, and joy in life. It is. That's just true. But that's not His primary concern. His primary concern is to bring the world to Himself and to make us like Jesus and involve us in His mission of reconciling the world to Himself. You see, just as He reconciled you and I through Jesus to Himself, He wants us to be a part of reconciliation, His message of reconciliation to the entire world. And so when God speaks, it has something to do with that. Now, it is true that if God wants you to hear Him, He can strike you blind and knock you off a horse and speak to you. He did that to Paul, didn't He? If He wants to do that, and if He wants you to hear something, He can do that. But that's not His normal method, is it? That's not His normal method of communicating with us. As His children, you see, we need to live in such a way that we are tuned into God, that we hear His voice when He wants to speak and guide us. You see, a lot of times the reason we don't hear the voice of God is because we're not focused on doing the things that God would have us do in bringing His message of reconciliation to the world. And so we need to put ourselves in a position to hear and obey God when He speaks to us. We need to place ourselves and be at that point where when He speaks to us, we will quickly hear His voice and know His will. Well, how does this happen in our lives? Well, I think Luke chapter 9, verses 23 and 24 help us to understand a little bit about how that happens in our lives. It says this, "Then He said to them all, if anyone would come after Me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for Me will save it." Father, help us to understand what it means to truly follow You, to hear Your voice. Lord, help us to know what it means to deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow You day by day. Would You speak today? Would You teach us? Would You draw us to Yourself and do what only You can do in our lives? In Jesus' name, amen. You see, if you want to experience God's fellowship and direction in your life, you must lose personal agendas and make His will and His kingdom the goal of your life. Do you want to hear His voice? Do you want to hear His voice? Make knowing Him, doing His will, and further His kingdom the chief goal of your life. This passage teaches us, first of all, that we are called. Remember today that you are called. Remember you are called. Now, in the context of this passage, Peter had confessed that Jesus was the Messiah, the Savior, the Son of God. And Jesus then began to teach His disciples what kind of Messiah He was. They didn't really understand what kind of Messiah He would be. And He said, "I'm going to suffer and die and be humiliated, and I'm going to rise again." So He began to teach them about His crucifixion. And when He told Peter that, Peter did not accept that. He didn't want Jesus to be that kind of Messiah. And so he said, "Master, this can't happen to You." And Jesus, the Scripture says, turned to him and said, "Get behind Me, Satan." Because, you see, Peter was tempting Jesus to be the kind of Messiah that he wanted Him to be instead of the kind of Messiah that God had called Him to be. And a lot of times that same thing is true in our life. We want to be the kind of Christians we want to be. We want to be the kind of Christians that do the things that we want to do instead of being the kind of Christians that the Scripture tells us that we should be, that are on mission for God. And so Jesus turned and rebuked Peter. And then Mark tells us that He called to Him the crowd. And Luke tells us He said to them all. You see, it's very interesting. Sometimes we just pass over phrases like that, not thinking about them. But Jesus called to the crowd. You see, He had been explaining to His apostles what was going to happen. And then He turned to the crowd that seemed to be always near Him. And He said to them, "If anyone would come after Me." See, Jesus turned to the crowd and extended a great invitation to them. "If anyone will come after Me." And I think the same invitation is being extended to you and I today. If anyone would come after Me, will you come after Me? Jesus is saying to us, will you come after Me? You see, the call to hear His voice, to follow Him, is not just for super spiritual class of believers. It's not just for superstar Christians or theologians or pastors or church leaders or elders or deacons. It's to every one of you. It's to everyone who will believe. The call is for you to follow Him. Will you follow Him? What a great invitation. What a great opportunity that we have to be a part of what God is doing in the world. You are called to hear and follow Him. The invitation is open. If anyone would come after Me, will you? Will you come after Him? Remember, first of all, you're called. Don't just think it's the preachers that do God's will. It's every person whom God has called. It's the people that work at Target and the schools and IBM and Mayo. God has called you to be a part of extending His kingdom and to have His kingdom as the focus and goal of your life and to have knowing Him as the focus and goal of your life. You are called to follow Him. Remember, you're called. Then secondly, remember you are called to renounce self. He's not calling us to an event, to a show, to something that we'll sit there and observe. He's calling us to Himself. He's calling us to His mission. And the call involves the denying of self, the renouncing of self. What does that mean? Well, it doesn't just mean giving up stuff. It doesn't just mean making a few sacrifices here or there. To deny self is to renounce self as the dominant element in life. It's a rejection of life based on self-interest and self-fulfillment. The one becoming the disciple of Jesus must renounce altogether the claim and disposition to run one's own life, to be one's own man or woman. He must renounce that and acknowledge Jesus as the Lord of life, as the proprietor, as the teacher, as the leader. Denying self is to replace self with God in Christ as the supreme object of affection. It's to replace His will before my will, before your will. You see, if you want to be your own boss, if you want to be your own man or woman, if you want to be your own Lord, you don't want anybody to tell you what to do, you can't follow Jesus, you can't hear His voice. We renounce self and say, I'm not living for Bob Ray anymore. If you give your life up to Jesus, if you renounce self, Jesus says, that's when you really find life. See, it's a call to denying self. You see, it's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. And so we are called to renounce self. And then you are called to carry your cross. You know, the cross to us is almost a confusing symbol sometimes. Because we see it as a piece of jewelry around a person's neck. Or as a decoration. Maybe we don't even have a cross up in here. We see it as a decoration to decorate our places of worship. We see it as a place to identify where Christians meet. That's not what they thought about when they thought about the cross in the time of Jesus. The cross was a place to die. It was a place where you went, where someone went and was executed. When you thought of cross, you thought of criminals being executed by a torturous method of nailing them to large pieces of wood. The cross is an instrument on which to die. It's closely connected to denying yourself. You see, when Jesus says, you must carry your cross, you die to life outside of Jesus and you realize that following Him is worth whatever it costs you, even if you had to physically die for Him. He says, that's when you find life. You'll find life by losing it to me. Now think of the shock of this. You know, Seth and I were talking a couple weeks ago, and he said, you know, he never thought about, when Jesus said, deny yourself and take up your cross, he never thought that this was before He was crucified. You see, we can look back on His cross, and we can understand a little bit of what it means, because we see what He did for us. We see what He did. But think about this. This was before He was crucified. He was calling people to the place of execution, the place of death. You see, He calls us. Jesus says He calls us to a life of death, to our old way, our selfishness, our sinfulness. He calls us to discover His life by taking up our cross and following Him. You see, you can't really know the resurrection until you know the crucifixion. You can't really know the life that God has for you, that He wants you to experience, until you die to your old life. Until you discover your old life. You discover that you die to yourself. You see, when Jesus said, take up your cross, He knew He was destined for His cross. It was the very reason He came, wasn't it? The very reason He came was not just to set a good example for us and not just to give us His teaching. The very reason He came was to take up His cross, to shed His blood so that our sins could be forgiven. God made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. You see, Jesus' purpose in life was for Him to shed His blood so that our sins could be forgiven, that the world could be reconciled to God. That was His purpose. And you know, Jesus doesn't say to us, take up His cross. He says, take up our cross. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross, his personal cross, my personal cross. What is that? Well, I believe that has something to do with God's individual plan and purpose for each of our lives. You see, do you want your plan for your life? Do you want to do what you want to do? Or do you want God's plan for your life, His purposes? Do you want Him to carry out His will through you? Our cross is God's purpose for our individual lives. It's not our plans and dreams and goals, but the calling God has placed on us to be what He wants us to do and reconciling the world to Himself. And then Luke says something that the other gospel writers don't say. He tells us that Jesus said to take up our cross daily. You see, there is a sense when we come to Christ, we deny ourselves and we take up our cross and we begin to follow Him. There's a sense that happens once and for all, the denying of self and the taking of the cross, and then we continually following Jesus. But Luke wants us to understand, and Jesus wants us to understand, that it's a day-by-day choice. We get up in the morning and we say, God, Your will for me, Your plans for me. Let me live life according to what You would want to do through my life. The daily denying of self and the daily taking up our cross, seeking God's plan and purposes for our lives. Thought's a little overwhelming when you think about it, isn't it? R.C.H. Linsky wrote this, "The thought grows overwhelming. Christ leads with His cross, and all His disciples, each loaded with His cross, following in one immense procession like men who are being led away to be crucified." You see, Christ calls us to find our life by dying to ourselves and taking up His mission. Have you ever seen the old Kirk Douglas movie, Spartacus? I like old movies, but anyway. Kirk Douglas and Spartacus was supposedly a slave who led a revolt of slaves in Rome around 70 B.C. And ultimately, a Roman leader, Crassus, put the rebellion down. And as he put the rebellion down, there were thousands of slaves who were involved in this revolt. And what he did to those slaves was between Capua and Rome on the Appian Way Road, he would nail men to the crosses and line the whole way from Capua to Rome. And there's something about that that's supposed to be us. Leaving our old lives, leaving our selfishness and our sinfulness and our own goals and plans and saying, God, Your will be done. I will follow You. Now, some people think you can only accomplish that by being a missionary or a preacher. No. You can accomplish that by working at Walmart if that's what God called you to do. And realizing that you're there not so that you can just make a living, but so that you can serve God and know Him and expand and be a part of the extension of His kingdom. Now, yeah, He does have the right. For Him to be Lord means that He can tell you, stop working at Walmart and do something else. God has the right to be Lord. He has the right to direct our lives. There are times that He will say to people at different stages in life, I want you to stop doing what you're doing and I want you to go and do something else. I want you to go and do something else. It can happen when you're 16 or it can happen when you're 60. I know people that are retired and that God has called to go overseas. They've never been overseas in their lives. But the point is, you live and you say, God, Your will, Your direction, Your plans. You see, if you want to hear the voice of God, you can't just want to hear it to help you to know which car to buy, or which house to buy, or where to live. You got to hear it to know what He would have for you. I'm not saying you can't pray about those kind of things, but I'm telling you that's not what He's concerned about. He's concerned about you being a part of His message of taking the word of reconciliation to this world that's estranged from Him, and seeing men and women and boys and girls come to Christ, and seeing Jesus being glorified and His fame extended to the ends of the earth. Fellowship with God, hearing His voice, is based on denying ourselves, taking up our cross, and seeking to follow Him. You can't really know the fellowship, the voice, and hear the voice of God if you're not seeking His will. A lot of people say, I want to hear from God. Well, you got to want to do what He says. You got to want to seek His will. You got to want His plans and His purposes above your very own. To hear Him, you have to be on mission with Him. Do you know His call is for you? His call is for you. He's calling you. Are you hearing His voice? If you will come after Me. And His call is to stop being your own boss, stop living for yourself and deny yourself. And His call is to take up your cross and die to yourself and make knowing Jesus and living for His glory the supreme goal of your life. That's His call. Will you hear Him as He calls you today? Let's pray together. Is God speaking to you today? Is He saying to you specifically about something? I want you to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow Me. Maybe today you've never trusted Christ. You've never just said, I'm tired of living for myself and I want to live for Jesus. I want to know His life. And today that you want to receive Him into your life. You believe that He died for you and rose again, and you want to stop living for yourself and you want to live the rest of your life for Him. If you've never done that, if you've never truly believed, would you do that today? Or maybe God is saying to you, it's not about your plan. It's not about what you want. It's not about your goals. I want you to lay those things down and I want you to live for Me. And there's something that's there's a struggle inside of you and you're saying, I just don't know. I want to tell you that's the best thing that you could ever do. I'm not going to tell you it's easy. I'm not going to tell you there won't be hardships in following Jesus. I would be lying to you. But I want to tell you that knowing Jesus is worth whatever it costs. And hearing His voice is worth whatever it costs you. Will you follow Him today? Heavenly Father, we thank You that You call us to follow You, to deny ourselves and take up our cross and day by day follow You. Lord, I pray that You would speak to every person here. I pray that You would call them, Lord, to Yourself. Lord, I pray that they would not think there is anything else in life worth living for. I pray that you would speak to our hearts and help us to know that if we want to hear your voice, we got to keep focused on your mission. Would you work and do what only you can do in our lives? In Jesus' name, amen.